morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this Wednesday, September 21st. Still to come, we're going to talk about parents as teachers. But right now, as always, the first Wednesday segment is the Arts Beat Media segment from Arts Quincy. And something I really want to promote because my dear friend Carol Matheson has had some health issues and she can't be on the Mary Griffith Show. And so we want to definitely give a big shout out to Carol Matheson. Get well soon. The Ariana String Quartet is coming. They're going to give a public performance Saturday night at 7:30 at St. John's Anglican Parish. But the Quincy Civic Music Association is shelling out the cash for students in our area to have a workshop for strings
afternoon.
And that's absolutely free of charge. Now, the deadline for that is passed, but this is just so indicative of what the Quincy Civic Music Association does, trying to bring these top drawer folks to us. So tell us a little bit about the Ariana String Quartet.
I'm really excited about Ariana. So Ariana was scheduled during the pandemic to come to Quincy. And I was really excited because I listened to them regularly on St. Louis Public Radio broadcasts Ariana String Quartet. They are the artist in residence for St. Louis Public Radio right now. They have a regular broadcast, and I really enjoy it. It is one of the most world-renowned string quartets around, and to bring them here is just amazing. So I was disappointed when we missed them in 2020, but I'm so excited that they're coming now. I would tell you, we've been working with Quincy Civic Music for a while here, and due to a delay in the printing of their brochures, they may have just gotten to your mailbox.
Like, I just got mine this
week.
Like
Monday or Tuesday,
yeah.
Right?
So the first concert is Saturday night, folks.
So here's what happened. There is a shortage of envelopes in the world. This is true.
I know.
And so if you got that mailing, my friends, and I did too, we designed on the fly that little flyer that went inside of it. You can go to Hy-Vee or County Market and pick up those tickets, including season tickets in person, and you can make your regular donations. And I highly encourage you to do it. We just thought, should we wait for envelopes and miss this concert or just send it out now without envelopes? So we opted for sending it without envelopes. So if you got it, spread the word because this is going to be a great season. Ariana is, again, just one of the best string quartets in the country, and I think that people are just going to be swept away. The cello player particularly, I could listen to it all day. I could listen to cello music all day.
It's only $25 for adults, and the best part is kids 18 and under get in free. So you always can bring children. And if you're afraid that, you know, don't bring...
I always bring
like
my kids.
Louis didn't come to the funeral. The four-year-old can't keep it together. But if your children are fairly well behaved, you can sit by the exit and they'll enjoy it very much because they'll love to see all the different instruments. So it's $25.
Mary, you want my bringing your kids tip?
Yes, you always have a good one.
Okay, here's I'm a professional mom, so I feel like I bring my kids to all this stuff. Dum Dum Suckers. You guys, Dum Dum Suckers, because I don't know if we're not allowed to have them in there, but I do anyway. It puts something in their actual mouth that they can hold, and it's kids' candy. And
keeps them from shouting.
And keeps them from any talking and stuff. But my kids love it, and do bring your kids. It'll be great.
Okay, Dum Dum Suckers. Absolutely. So the tickets for the Saturday night concert are $25. You can get them at the door, or you can get them at Hy-Vee and County Market. Have both of those, did you say?
I believe it's both. I know at least Hy-Vee. That's where
okay.
I got mine.
QuincyCivicMusic.org. Please, please support this group. They haven't had as much publicity as they usually do for a variety of reasons, an envelope shortage and a Carol Matheson shortage.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so we really want everybody not to miss the Ariana String Quartet.
I also want to say one more thing about that. I saw the Ariana String Quartet about 5 years ago at Powell Hall in St. Louis, and my ticket there was $80. So you can have the whole season for what I paid for one concert.
And when you think about that, 5 years ago she paid $80, and now 5 years later it's only $25.
So do
that's
it.
Really good. Then the next day, the Sunday Music Series features the Quincy University faculty. It's at 4 o'clock. This is a change for the Sunday Music Series. They usually have it at the Unitarian Church, but it's going to be at QU Chapel, which is such a beautiful place. That's where I got married. So wonderful. Tell us all about that, please.
Yeah, we're really excited for this venue. It's just something a little bit different. And, of course, it's a big hall, so it's got a lot of resonance. The concert's going to feature Christine Dam, who's the Fine Arts and Communications Dean.
It's Dom.
Dom. I always say that. Dom.
It's okay. I know.
It's French. Okay. Anyway, she plays clarinet. I've met her 100 times. Now I feel bad for saying her name wrong. She plays clarinet and piano and fabulous. Bill Mockold is going to be, I imagine, on trumpet. Christine Ramser, director of choirs, who I've not met yet. Darren Lillard and Sarah Devine, Allison Hudson will be singing, and Laura Kammerer. So we've really got a big mix. They are doing a special tribute to the late Keith Wiemelt, who was originally going to be a part of this concert. So they'll be doing a tribute piece to him, which I'm sure will be very touching because we all miss him very much. This is the start of the series. It's got 8 more concerts lined up every month until May. Again, we talked about bringing kids to things, but I love Sunday Music Series for bringing my kids, particularly because right now I have a 3rd grader, and next year he will be picking an instrument to play in the band or orchestra as a 4th grader at Baldwin. And you have no better introduction to the instruments of the band and orchestra than by attending Sunday Music Series. It's free. You're going to see the best of Quincy, and I highly recommend it.
Okay. One more thing to talk about today. Quincy Symphony Orchestra Association 75th concert season opener, Sunday, October 2nd, 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Quincy Junior High School's Morrison Auditorium. And Chris Lowe will be the featured soloist. She's the concert master. You always see her come out. They always play that same stupid song every time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody tunes up. So anyway, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the 75th concert season for QSOA is just going to be outstanding. Their literature actually just went out, too, pretty recently. I wouldn't miss this one, you guys. They have really pulled out all the stops. Quincy Symphony Orchestra and Arts Quincy are both celebrating 75 years this year. We are sister organizations in that way. We're celebrating with our favorites, things from our archives. Symphony is pulling things that were originally designed for the symphony or designed, composed for the symphony. And I think the season ticket is well worth it. If you have never been a season ticket holder for the symphony, you can still get the buy one, get one free season ticket for your first year of season tickets because they know you'll be back. And I love that because kids are always free. So if you're doing the math on that, you might be able to just buy one ticket, one season ticket, go to all the shows with your entire family.
Yeah.
Love that. Love it.
I tell you what, it just keeps getting better and better. Folks, you have to go to artsquincy.org, artsquincy.org, to know everything that's going on. We could never cover it all in this short segment on Wednesday morning. But I thank you, Laura, for stopping by. And remember, the more you support the arts, the more availability for the arts there is. So please become a member of Arts Quincy and go to as many art events as you can. Coming up, we're going to talk with parents as teachers. Teachers. Okay. They'll be here in just a second. 3-minute break and we'll be right back. But right now, we get to go to the Transitions Parents as Teachers program, and it's expanding. And thanks to grants from the state government, they're going to be able to serve children ages 3 to 5 in addition to those age birth to 3. So let's meet our cast of characters today. Carol Harlow joins us. She's the program supervisor. Carol, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Transitions.
Hello, everybody. I am Carol Harlow. I am, like Mary said, the supervisor of the Parents as Teachers program. So I get to oversee about 7 staff who visit families in Adams County, 0 to 3, prenatal even as well. But now with our expansion, we are serving up to the age of 5.
Okay. And one of those people you have to keep in line is Rose Bovar, childhood friend of mine. You're a parent educator, Rose, besides growing up in the best Melody Meadows neighborhood in Quincy, Illinois. What else do we need to know about you?
Oh, my goodness. So I have a background in early childhood education. So I've got lots of experience in the field when it comes to working with children. I taught for several years. I started out at Transitions actually when it was birth to 3, so I feel like I'm coming full circle. You know, I moved back to Quincy in 08 and taught for a little bit, and then God just opened a door for me, and here I am.
Here you are. And now with this expansion, it's not only prenatal up to ages 3, but all the way up to age 5. So let's talk about parents as teachers. We all recognize, I think, in our hearts that parents are the first and in many ways the best teachers of all children, no matter what age they are. But kids don't come with a manual. And sometimes parents, they might be a very young teen mother, mm-hmm. or they may be somebody in their 30s that's got their kid for the first time. They forgot what it's like to be a kid themselves. You know, they're like, why aren't you speaking French yet? You're 6 months old. I did, I'm sure. So let's talk a little bit about the programs you offer and who benefits the most from these programs. And we'll just start with you, Carol Harlow.
Okay. So our mission of the program is to empower parents to be the child's first teacher. And as you say, like, the kids are not coming out ready to and know everything. So it's up to the parents to have those tools and those skills to provide developmental activities in the home and to look at everyday interactions and see how beneficial that can be to a child's development. So we want to empower the parents. So kind of what that looks like is making sure that we're pulling out their strengths. A lot of these parents that we're working with, they don't see that what they're doing is really valuable to their child's development. And a lot of people, they don't feel comfortable having their strengths talked about. And so that kind of makes them feel uncomfortable up front. Mm-hmm. But it's really empowering them to hear what they are doing right. And we meet them where they're at. So what that looks like is whatever they want to know for their family or whatever they're struggling with in their family, we can help them with that, but we first want to know where they came from. How were they raised? Because that is so much going to impact how they're raising their children. And we see that a lot of these parents, they don't know what to do. They didn't have the role models that some of us have had in our lives. And so that's where we can come in and be that empowerment for them, mm-hmm. lift them up as parents, help them learn parenting skills that they may not have, but also make sure that they understand what a growing child is supposed to be doing. You know, a 2-year-old's not throwing a tantrum to make them mad on purpose. There could be some behavior issues or some developmental concerns behind that. So we really we're there to not only empower the parents, but also to make sure that the child's on track developmentally. When we engage in services early on, they have lasting effects. But what we were finding was our program previously, we had to stop at the age of 3. And we were finding that not everybody got to go to preschool at 3 for whatever reason, whether the child didn't turn 3 at the right time, maybe they weren't qualified for 3-year-old preschool. And there was just not enough services in our area that could enroll a child after the age of 3 and keep them open. So we were finding that when we had to exit, when the child graduated the program at 3, sometimes they went an entire year without services. And so what we were finding was, here we've been working this whole time, getting these children on track with the development, giving the skills to the parents, and then everything was kind of falling off for that year. So, you know, we're hopeful that we can empower parents with the tools and the information that once they've gotten engaged, they can continue that, you know, once the child does go to school.
Because knowing those milestones, not everybody knows or understands when should they be potty trained. Well, there's right. No month there. That's a very individual call. When should they be saying words? How many words should they be saying? What should they be doing? So from prenatal all the way up to 5 now, transitions will have Parents as Teachers program. One of the things that I really like in hearing and learning about your program is that you are reinforcing their strengths. You're not there to criticize. You're not there to condemn. And you're certainly not there to report them. This is an important relationship because these young parents, whether it's their first child, their second child, or their 15th child, they need to know that you're on their side. Rose, you're shaking your head.
Yes.
Because it is important. You're not going to be welcomed into their home and you say, oh, you're doing this great, you're doing this great, you're doing this great. How about adding this? You're always trying to reinforce what they're doing right because naturally, as parents, we do kind of understand how to do things right. But we need a little bit of education. Add this piece in. You're not there to condemn.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head, Mary, and just, you know, piggybacking off of a little bit what Carol just said, you know, it's very important. The relationship is, like, key. Like, that's the first thing we work on. Like, from the time Carol hands us the referral to make that first phone call, Carol makes the first phone call. And then she does a great job of, you know, matching up the parent educator, who's going to be a good fit for that family. And then we make that second phone call initially to set up what we call a meet and greet visit, and it starts from the very beginning, working on building that relationship with that family, getting to know them, not hitting them with all this paperwork, you know, that at the beginning.
Yeah,
so.
Because people will hear a negative and remember a negative, even if you give them 10 praises, they'll remember the one negative. And, of course, they're reaching out to you because they are interested in being better parents. Mm-hmm. So often, we just don't understand. For example, simple things like, it's so important for children to hear the spoken word. They cannot learn to talk if they don't hear the word. So you can set them down in front of a video screen where there's no sound, which is nice because they're not annoying you, and the little Mario is jumping over things, and they may understand that and learn that, but they're not talking. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the things that you advise people to do. The parents need probably the top three things that parents just don't understand how important it is, Carol Harlow, for them to do for their kids.
I think the biggest one is communication, and you're right. We often see a lot of these younger children sitting down in front of screens, and they lose that interaction. And such the biggest part of our home visits is that parent-child interaction. And parents as teachers, really, they thrive in the program that we deliver is we want to empower parents to understand what inside their home that they can use to teach their children and to have meaningful interactions. So most of the time, the activities that we are building and creating are from the supplies in the family's home. Because we have found that families, when we are taking toys in or if they feel like they have to have a specific thing, they say and feel, well, we can't teach our children because we don't have X, Y, and Z materials. We don't have a fancy tablet, or I don't have a fancy phone. So therefore, because they're not doing those things, that they can't learn. So we're here to say, A, your interaction and communication are the two biggest things, because that's the foundation of everything. Mm-hmm. If you have great interaction with your children and you're communicating and you are, you know, you're reading and you're talking, and even if they do in those moments watch TV for a little bit or the tablet, empowering parents to find ways to bring out that information that they just saw or they just did and bring it out to the real world. Because what we're finding is we lose a lot of that. Without the interaction and the communication, we're losing on attachment, and which then is impacting every other aspect of a child's development. And we see a lot more behavior issues because children are lacking in communication and they're lacking in that social-emotional development.
They're crying desperately for attention, desperately trying for attention, and mom and dad sometimes are too much focused on their own screens.
Right.
But kids can do anything. It's, what did you learn? What did you do? I have to laugh. Rose and I, the way we were raised, we were, especially in the summer, your mom turned you loose, and you kind of knew you had to stay between 36th and 30th Street.
Yep.
You couldn't go past maybe Lindell Avenue.
That's exactly
right. You go down
right.
the creek if you were careful. I mean, we grew up together in a very the whole universe raised our childhoods. We all were in and out of each other's homes. And that's not that way so much anymore today. Kids are much more isolated in their own homes. So it's really important that you speak to them, talk to them, communicate with them. Because they're not going to get that, you know, I remember, well, like Rose tag along, a little obnoxious. But like the older kids would play. The younger kids were always there because we were supposed to watch them. So they watched us. They learned from us. So we have to replicate some of these things in our own families. My guests today are Rose Bovar, parent educator, and Carol Harlow, program supervisor for Transitions Parents as Teachers. Their program has expanded now. They not only serve neonatal to age 3, but they go 3 to 5 now. So all the way up to age 5, you can be involved in Parents as Teachers. And all you have to do is ask to be part of that program. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. In the few moments remaining, we want to make very sure that everyone out there listening understands that this Transitions Parents and Teachers program is absolutely free of charge. You don't have to worry about these people coming into your home to criticize or to report you. They are there at your request to help you raise your children. And I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting they don't come with a manual, and sometimes you just don't know quite how to move forward. And you have one kid, you think, well, I got it down now, and here comes a second one, totally different personality, totally different behavior patterns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, darnation, you just figure it out, and they change the rule book on you. It happens all the time. So, Kara Harlow, tell us how we can get involved and who should become involved in parents as teachers.
Anybody can be involved in parents as teachers because parenting is hard for everybody, regardless of the background of a family. You know, our purpose is really to help the highest risk families in Adams County, but that doesn't limit to everybody because, again, everybody struggles with parenting because, as you say, like, we have it down for one child and then another child comes along and they're like, oh my gosh, we have all these behavior problems. I wasn't equipped for this. Like, this didn't happen with my first child. And so a lot of our conversations are informing the parents that child development is very different from brother to sister or sister to sister, you know. I really strongly encourage anybody that is struggling with parenting, that has questions, maybe they have some concerns with speech or behavior mm-hmm. concerns. We've seen those two things really come out of the pandemic when everybody was a little bit more isolated.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's wearing a mask. How can you learn to talk
exactly.
when you can't see people's faces? Mm. So Rose Bovar, you've got a whole lifetime of experience
yes.
with this. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, it's not just a low income. It's not just low income
yeah.
people because you could have a child that's autistic or you could have a child that has a speech
mm-hmm.
delay. I mean, that has nothing to do with your class, your race, your gender, your socioeconomic
right.
status. Children come with all kinds of assets and deficits,
yeah.
and it's up to parents to make sure those deficits are as eliminated as much as possible.
Right,
so
right.
What kind of, you're in the home all the time without giving away a, you know, a secret. What are kind of some of the things you see that you've really helped parents work with? Because, you know, I'm not a speech therapist. If my kid's got a lisp, I don't know how to do that.
I'll tell you what, Mary, the number one thing as parent educators that we can do to help our families is read. And that's something that we do. We're able through monies, through our programs, we can supply them with, you know, one or two books a month to help, you know, build their child's library. I personally have connected families to the library, which is a wonderful, wonderful resource. They have wonderful enrichment programs. And that's
into the Arctic right
exactly.
now. It's really cool. They get to pack their sled
right.
and their little stuffed huskies and go off
yes.
on the northern adventure.
Yes. And along with, you know, not just providing those home, you know, visits, but we all, there's a lot of things we do. You know, we connect families to resources in the community that they might need, you know, whatever that might be.
Like the diaper bank.
Yeah,
or
diaper
bank,
you know, if it's a new thing, you know, WIC, you know, there's all kinds of resources out there that they could have access to, and we can help in that process. We really care because there's three components to a home visit. You know, there's the parent-child interaction, the development piece, and then the family well-being, which we care about the family as a whole unit. And that encompasses a lot of things. And the main thing within that is, like, mental health and wellness, which is a hot, you know, very, very, very important. So really nice that within our agency, there's so many wonderful supports just within our agency and that I've utilized myself and have referred, you know, families to, you know, starting individual counseling. They might need some community support. They're trying to get back into the, you know, the workforce. So we have individual placement, you know, all these wonderful services to their, you know, right there.
Now, that emotional, the physical and mental well-being, people are getting more into that mental component. Now, it's very common for a woman after giving birth to have a little postpartum
mm-hmm.
depression. This
mm-hmm.
is so common. But heaven forbid you would mention to somebody, I don't know if I even like this kid. I'm really suffering from depression. I just mm-hmm. want to go to bed and sleep. I don't know if I want to take care of the kid. Well, there's help available. And this is not an uncommon problem, but it is a problem that must be dealt with and overcome. And you can get very overwhelmed. Parents can get very overwhelmed. And so you're helping the whole family. Yeah, maybe a pre-birth, you know, a pregnancy to age 5 program for children, but it's really a family support program. And you see that, don't you, Carol?
Yep, we do. And actually, you know, it's postpartum depression was something that was kind of like on the low and not a lot of people wanted to talk about it. And it's starting to come to the surface a little bit more. And one really great thing, well, a couple great things that we do for the family as a whole is we offer adult screenings. So we're screening for depression and especially that postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to diagnose that someone says, you know, oh, you have depression. These are the feelings that we're feeling, you know, and talk to and have that conversation. How do you feel about talking to someone? Because obviously we're not the experts. We're just kind of that next stepping stone to
mm-hmm.
get them to the support that they need. But so many people are ashamed to admit you know, these feelings that they have towards their children, but they don't understand that sometimes that's normal and they just are needing that help themselves.
And the same way with a lot that can be done to prevent child abuse. Sometimes when mom or dad is just overwhelmed and they're to the end of their rope, that's the time for them to become centered and say, okay, I'm not fully capable right now. I'm handing off the kid, whether I call the next door neighbor for 10 minutes, whether I get my husband involved for 10 minutes, I call my mother, whatever. The other day, something happened at our house. I was so mad. And my husband was like, how can I help? I said, shut up and leave me alone. And I went and I just threw clothes into the washing machine. I'm just throwing these clothes just with as much violence as force as I can in the washing machine. Boy, I felt so much better after I got that load in there and pushed wash. And I was like, okay, I'm a human being again. Yes, you may help me clean up this mess I made. So we all need help, you know. It's nothing, and parents especially. It's not all June Cleaver. You know, right. Everything is not always perfect. And if you've got financial struggles, if you've got other struggles, these are things that can exacerbate already existing problems in the home. And I always laugh because we always say, I'll never raise my kids the way my parents raised me. I'm going to be perfect. And as my brother and I always say to each other, mirror, mirror on the wall, you are your mother after all. So we do want to break some bad habits, right. But we have to have something to replace it with.
Yep, that's right. And part of that family well-being is, you know, that whatever's going on that's impacting the whole family, if a mom is struggling to get diapers or they're struggling to get food on the table, that's where their concern is. That's where their energy goes. And so then it's less focused on supporting that child and building, you know, that relationship with the child, which is what the child needs. So if we can help connect them to the resources that are going to kind of eliminate some of those stressors or at least decrease some of those stressors, then there's more energy spent on the child.
Mm-hmm. That is the most important thing. They will help the whole situation. They're there for a very holistic approach. Parents as teachers. From pregnancy all the way up to age 5, your child can be cradled in the comfort that you'll have someone to go to and someone to ask. It's free of charge. It is available at Transitions. Just give them a call and they have achieved blue ribbon status so they know what they're doing. Thank you, Rose Bovar. Thank you, Carol Harlow. And thank you, Transitions, for providing this great program for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.